Hey guys, you guys are in for it tonight. tonight, if y'all would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. And I must confess, this is not my message. Rory wrote this sermon 10 years ago. And so he, let's just say, like, he's preaching on this continent and another one tonight. So there's going to be a test. I was actually going to pass a test out, see how much y'all knew from 10 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. But to really be honest with you, I selected this because this actually was a lesson that I taught in my Sunday school class, and I must confess, I didn't really wrap my mind around this 100%. I struggled with it. And I heard Rory one day say that how he decides which book to study next in the Bible is the one that he finds most difficult. So here we are. So y'all, if y'all would bear with me. But it is 1 Corinthians 3, and we go 10 through 17. And then we'll kind of go back a little bit, do some background. But please follow along with me as we read the text, starting at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. This letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, or the church at Corinth, was written because they were kind of being a bunch of babies. They weren't spiritually mature, and so we're going to kind of backtrack a little bit and kind of give you some background for why he taught this. This sermon, let's kind of go back and talk about the Corinthians. They were divided and not unified. They were like, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and, well, I'm of Cephas. And so they were being like a bunch of children, full of pride and arrogance, and Paul basically is kind of shaming them and saying, look, you know, you guys should be over there in the nursery and not here in the sanctuary, because y'all are just doing a bunch of infighting. And so he basically says, I can't talk to you as mature Christians. I have to talk to you because you're being too fleshly. You're being like mere men. It says, he uses the word, our Bible says fleshly, but J. Vernon McGee calls them carnal. And so we kind of back up a little bit and go to 1 Corinthians 3:1 says that they are infants in Christ. In 3:2 he says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not able. In verse 3, he says, you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? So he's kind of shaming them into, like, yeah, you guys haven't grown in the Lord, okay? Paul goes on to remind them that he and Apollos are they're on the same team, and that Paul planted and Apollos watered, But it's God that causes the growth. And you can see that in verses 5 through 7, if you kind of back up a little bit there. It says now in verse 8, Paul says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Verse 9, right before our text, says, For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so here we start with his analogy of this church is like a building. And this is where he talks about laying a foundation. He's telling the Corinthians, like, look, it's not about you. It's not about me and Apollos. It's about what God is doing. It's all about God. And you guys are over there fussing and fighting about who led you to Christ. And it's not anything to do with that. It's about what God is doing and growing this church. And so he now gives the church of Corinth a warning. This kind of starts talking about this phase of construction. Paul says, starts in verse 10, and notice that he doesn't take credit for building anything, but gives the credit to God. He says, look, by grace, this church was founded. And we all know that no one can come to Christ unless God's grace leads them to a true repentance. But it says, like a wise master builder in verse 10, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. So we talk about this wise master builder for a moment. Paul is basically saying, look, I made sure that I built the right foundation on this church. And anyone that comes now and building upon it, which he's talking about Apollos, that's okay. As long as these people that come and build on this church are building, following the right blueprints, okay? And so we're going to talk a little bit about this construction phase. And we know, first of all, let's talk about this foundation, and we're kind of look at some other verses where we talk about the foundation. Verse 11 says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And in Isaiah 28:16, it says, "Therefore, the Lord says, I'm sorry, therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed." In Matthew 16:15-18, Jesus is speaking. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Paul professes to be a wise master builder. He knows the most important thing in a building is the foundation. Okay? And we learn a little bit more about this. So Jesus speaking in Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." In Romans 15:20-21, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand." This is Paul writing to the Romans. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5 says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and trembling, and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on wisdom of men, but on the power of God." So Paul knew that the church of Corinth was founded on a firm foundation of Jesus Christ. He didn't use smoke and fancy music and like a lot of churches do today. He just taught them about Jesus, the Son of God, who came and died on a cross, and His blood was shed to purchase their souls. So now we've talked about the master builder that Paul is, and he wants all of us who do anything for the church to follow in his footsteps, to be master builders, to be know what the blueprint is, know that you're building on something, and give your 100% for God. Give Him your all, not halfway, let's say. It says that, as you know, when a house is, as we all know, when people build homes, there's tons of contractors and subcontractors that build a house. You know, we have framers, electricians, plumbers, you got the drywall guy, some guy installs windows, the flooring, cabinet man, roofers, painters. I mean, there's tons of others that probably come and also build a home. But we also know that there's some contractors out there that they're subpar. They don't want to, they use shoddy materials. And we're going to talk a little bit now about the shoddy contractor. They come and maybe they're doing the drywall and they don't do it 100%. They're like, when I leave, the mudders will come and get it. And then the mudders come and make a big mess. The painters will clean that up. I mean, it just goes on and on and on of if they're not doing their work properly. So we kind of talk about that with our jobs here in this church. We say jobs, we volunteer here. You know, I mean, some people work in the nursery, some people teach Sunday school, others lead music, some people sing special music, some people volunteer for VBS that's coming up. There's just a lot of things that we do, but are we doing it for the right reason? You know, are we doing it for Christ and for God, or are we doing it for self promotion or trying to glorify yourself and not glorifying God? And there's just a lot of just the warning that Paul gives us is give it your all, because every man is going to have to answer for how they build on this church. This is a what type of worker are you? Are you a perfectionist, or are you a shoddy contractor? Do you hide your junk underneath something else and nobody really knows until there's a problem later down the road? And I can tell you a few things about our house. Somebody gave me a 75-inch TV. Man, this is a big deal for a guy, right? I'm like, well, I'm going to get that thing hung up. We go to the store and we get a hanger for this size TV. I come home and I've got a stud finder, and I find out I've got one stud in this wall in the middle and some on the ends, but I need two studs to hang this TV. It's really 89 pounds or something. And I'm like, who did this shoddy work before I got here? So now I've got to get a hanger from the ceiling to hang my TV. I haven't gotten it yet. So now I have a TV hanger I don't need. And then when it rains real hard at our house, on the front porch, the water runs to my house. It doesn't run away, not even level. It runs to the house and pulls up there. And we got to get out there with a squeegee and push it off. I'm like, who laid the foundation and who poured this slab that we have to get out there and fight the water to keep it out of our house every time it pours down in rain, which maybe not very often in West Texas, but sometimes it does. But I mean, I think we can all identify a little bit with what I'm talking about, with someone doing something halfway. This is what that we don't need. So in verse 12 it says, "Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Now, this is one of the mysteries of God that I'm not sure I understand 100%, but I believe it. Now, we can see gold and silver are refined through fire. The dross is burnt out, even probably precious stones. What happens to wood, hay, and straw? It ain't gonna last, okay? And so this is what the warning is. Be careful, church, how you're building on this. I just kind of want to expand on that a little bit. It says, Rory calls this part the inspection. So anything we're building on this foundation is going to be inspected by God. And we all know, probably, I don't know if anybody's had a house built or whatever, but you got to get that green tag to be able to move in, right? I mean, everything has to be inspected. This is kind of what we're talking about. Is your work that you're doing for God, is it going to pass inspection? And it's real hard if somebody has a piece of gold, it's really hard to see from a distance. But if somebody has a big old haystack, how easy is that to spot? And so that's kind of the deal. It's like, are you building something with precious stones or gold or silver, something that is really going to stand the test of fire? Are you building a big old haystack that doesn't mean anything at the end of your life and it's going to be burned up? So something to think about. It says right here, and we'll talk a little bit about the reward, probably quite a bit about it, is 1 Corinthians 3:14. "If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward." There's some scriptures that talk about reward. It says Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 says, "For I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So it's not just for Paul. It's for all of us. Just depending on how we're doing our service to God. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor." 1 Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." So you can, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you can kind of shoot from the hip, you know. You're like, oh man, I really didn't save my lesson, but I'll muddle through. It's going to be evident one day, if that's what happened, let's say. I mean, in Rory's message, I listened to it numerous times. He said, there's going to be some preachers that have preached thousands of messages their whole life, and they're not going to mount up to a hill of beans. They're going to be like a haystack, and they're going to be burned up. This is what we have to be careful of, church, of how we're conducting ourselves. So we talked about the wise master builder, and we've talked about the shoddy contractor. Let's talk about now the third person. Rory calls them the spiritual terrorist. I say they're like a demolition man. They're coming in to tear down what everybody else has built, and they don't care if they go down with anybody else they take down with them. And we've kind of come to know a lot about terrorists in the last several years. They're willing to kill themselves as long as they can take some people with them. And so we have to be cautious and careful as a church to watch out for these people. And the Bible calls them hidden reefs. Rory kind of, he said, I've never been out on the ocean and saw a hidden reef. He said, but I've been on a lake and it has hidden stumps just underneath the water. And those are the ones you just be motorboating along there, and all of a sudden, boom, rips the bottom of your boat out or your motor off the back of the transom because you can't see it. So we have to be careful of these spiritual terrorists that may come in, maybe among us or whatever. They see, they don't wear a uniform of an enemy. They dress just like you and me. They blend in. They're hard to spot until something's already happening, okay? So verse 16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. It's hard to believe that there are people that want to tear down the church of God. And the world is full of evil men. And, you know, many times the Bible warns of someone coming in teaching a strange doctrine and splitting a church or something like that. So we need to be in the Word and know and discern God's Word of what someone is teaching or what someone is preaching. Does it hold up to the standard of God's Word? You see, you can't hide anything from God. He sees the heart, okay? And Psalms 44:21 said, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Luke 16:15 says, to the Pharisees, Jesus said, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. So you can't pull the wool over someone like God's eyes. You might can fool a few people in the congregation, but you're not going to be able to fake it out, and God's going to know about it. My question to you guys tonight is, what kind of builder are you? Are you a meticulous master builder, a wise master builder? Are you going to give your 100% for the Lord? Or are you a shoddy contractor and you're just not giving 100%, you're halfway doing something? Or are you a spiritual terrorist, a demolition man, let's say, or tearing down what's been built on for years? That's the question in the nutshell for that really kind of one big question I wanted to ask. So says, you see, you don't have much time to do your work or your volunteer at the church. I mean, we all know we're just here for a moment and then it's just like a vapor and we're gone. It's not too late to change the way you're building on God's church or the way you're teaching Sunday school or the way that you're doing anything for God. I mean, like I say, you could be, hey, I'm gonna be in charge of all the food for VBS. I mean, whatever it is, give it 100%. Give your whole heart to the Lord for what you're doing. And there will be a reward for you when you get to heaven. It says, Revelations 22:12, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." So there it is. There, you know, we talk a little bit about this this guy that I left one verse out, but it talks about the man who's everything he's worked for is burned up. I'm going to kind of find that one. Rory says that says everything that he'll suffer loss, everything that he's worked for will be burned up in the fire, but he will be saved. And some people say, oh, well, that's good. At least he got salvation. And Rory's message that he said, it was like, okay, well, if that's the way you feel, let's get you and all your family here at church, and then let's go home and set fire to your house and see how you feel about that. I mean, it kind of brings it home to you, like, yeah, that wouldn't be a good thing. Everything you worked for your whole life in your home is going to be lost. But that's why a lot of people, when they go through a fire, like, oh, well, at least we lost everything, but at least we're alive. But just taking a big gamble when you're standing before the Lord and there's no gold or silver or precious stones, and this everything that you worked for your whole life has been consumed by God's fire. So that's just a brief message. I know I didn't go on and on like Mr. Mosley does, but I thought it was a very poignant message. And one, to be honest with you, I'm preaching to myself because, and I do a lot of these things. I try to study my lesson religiously that I'm going to teach on Sunday school or KFC. But there are times, you know, I'm not giving 100%. And so Max asked me earlier, he said, are you going to be getting on to me tonight? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of really about getting on to myself. But I do think it's a poignant message that Rory preached 10 years ago that, church, be careful how you're working for the Lord, because there's an accountability and he sees the heart. Please come and give 100% with whatever you're doing. I mean, we all know the church body takes all of us to make this church work. I mean, there are people back there in the sound bar, there's people that play music here, there's people that sing special music. And I'll just say this, I think this kind of also goes with, if you have talents that the Lord has given you and you're not using them for the Lord, it's kind of, I think that we're going to have to answer for that too. So if there's something, like maybe you're an older person, go, I'll just let the young ones, let those young people do that, and you can be doing something. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're a younger person, you're like, let them older people take care of that. We need to use our gifts and our talents. It's for the Lord. So there's something you can be doing for God and helping build on this foundation of Jesus Christ. We need to be doing it for God. And that's really my message tonight. I know it's butchered a lot of what Rory preached, but I think it was it's a great message. If you guys haven't heard it in a while, I would encourage you to go back and listen to his message. But pretty much that's it for me. Appreciate y'all's time. Appreciate your prayers. All I would ask you to do is just pray about your what you're doing for God or what you need to be doing for God. And then give him 100%. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are our God. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Savior here. Lord, sinless and blameless. And Lord, you sent him here to die in our stead. You nailed him to a cross and put our sin on him, Lord. And Lord, he purchased this church with his blood. Lord, what a great sacrifice that you have made out of the love you have for your people, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would give them ears to hear tonight a message of how what kind of service they're doing for you, Father. So now we know we're going to have to give an account, Lord. It's going to be an inspection of how we're building on your church, Father. And Father, I just pray that each one will examine how they're working in this church, Lord. And Father, we thank you for those that volunteer here, Lord. It's a blessing for all those that give of their time and their talents, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless each one. Lord, be with us. Lord, I lift Rory up and Zach and Stephen and Logan, Lord, as they're in Africa, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you can send our pastor across the world, Lord, and he could teach other pastors, and Lord, that your word would go forth, your holy words, Lord, and Father, you can teach these other pastors, Lord, what a pastor needs to be, Lord, and what it takes to come to salvation, Father. Lord, I lift them up to you. I know some of them are ill, Lord. I know there's other people in our church that are sick. Lord, I pray that you would ease their suffering, Lord, heal them. And Father, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We say amen.